NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Am Mikrofon ist Paul Basketball. Wie gesagt, in der Stunde habe ich zwei Studiogäste, nämlich Victoria Legrand und Alex Scully von der Band Beach House aus Baltimore. Die beiden kommen gleich zu Wort, aber erstmal Musik von Beach House von ihrem aktuellen Album Bloom. Here's Yet's Myth.
An interesting characteristic of the album for me personally is that although I've listened to it so many times, I still haven't actually got a favourite track, which is usually like a bad sign for me if I don't have a favourite track. And I think this album is an exception to the rule in that respect. Because it's as if I still haven't heard it enough. I'm still sort of seeing new details and things which I haven't heard in the times before. And it seems almost like it's a different experience a little bit each time.
We're a song-based group. A lot of, you know, spirit comes from creativity and emotions and things like that. And we're not preoccupied as artists about making hits. So if you say you don't have a favorite song on the record, I think that makes me delighted in many ways, because it's not something we set out to do, but it proves that in this era, you can still make music that is of substance and has a lot of stuff inside of it that you'll keep finding, you know. Yeah. It's not all about just having your favorite, you know, hit song.
It gives it a deeper quality in a way, doesn't it? Maybe a more lasting quality.
But it's
happens naturally.
We don't really listen to reviews or critics very much, because I don't think it's what any artist should do. But the two things that have been said to us that for us make us feel amazing, two things that I try to hold on to, is people say, it sounds different to me every time I listen to it. And I have a different favorite song every time I listen to it.
The same as what I've just said.
It is. But those are our favorite things to hear, because that's the experience of writing. I think that actually parallels the experience of writing it the most, because as you write a song, you add layers and it changes and it goes somewhere different, and it's a story.
We also have kind of a bit of everything at this point. I mean, when you have four records, you have a lot. You have a serious catalog. You're not a new band. You're not a hot band. You know, it's just like all that stuff doesn't matter. It never mattered to us, but every album we make, I think it's more and more clear that we're not a band that's about a quick flash in the pan. It's something, it's about work, and it's about, you know, creating beautiful things that mean a lot to us. We wouldn't be making this music if it didn't resonate with us inside of ourselves.
Victoria meint, es geht zwar bei uns in erster Linie um Songs, wir sind aber äußerst emotional und kreativ und nicht darauf bedacht, Hits zu schreiben. Wenn du sagst, du hast kein Lieblingslied, bin ich eigentlich hoch erfreut, weil es beweist, dass man auch in der heutigen Zeit doch noch Musik mit Substanz machen kann, die als solche geschätzt wird. Und Alex meint, wir achten kaum auf Rezensionen, aber wir haben schon ein paar Mal Meinungen von Leuten mitbekommen, die deine Aussage von eben ähneln. Wertungen, die uns richtig aufbauen. Jedes Mal, wenn sie das Album hören, klingt das Album für sie irgendwie anders, und jedes Mal haben sie ein anderes Lieblingsstück. Das beweist, dass man uns versteht, weil die Songs oft tatsächlich vielschichtig sind. Victoria meint, wir haben schon vier Alben gemacht, die Band hat eine Langlebigkeit. Wir sind nicht der letzte Schrank und keine Eintagsfliege. Wir streben schöne Musik an, die uns viel bedeutet. Sonst würden wir sie nicht machen.
I mean, obviously the case that you've got quite pretty melodies and nice rhythms. I mean, just on a superficial level, and it's actually on one level it can be quite relaxing music as well. But I think there is a certain tension about, especially this album, I think, which is a bit difficult to define. Maybe it's down to the vocals or whatever. I don't know, but there's like an edginess to it. Do you feel that yourselves?
Well, I haven't listened to the record, so I don't know. Maybe in 5 years I'll understand what it sounds like to people. But I think that's more, you know, if you hear that, that's very interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, because it's kind of like almost like a contradiction in terms, you know, relaxing and tense.
But, well, I don't think that for me, making music is not relaxing.
I've never really understood that.
And there's
that you were meant to be relaxing.
The irony is that there's a lot of rage in a lot of beauty, and what makes someone else want to take a bath for someone else may have been like something near close to suicide. You know, so I'll never understand why those totally different things are connected.
Right.
How someone else's total misery creates someone else's fantastic yoga class. But part of me, when I hear those things, I just sort of listen and then I just sort of turn the other cheek because it doesn't, that's not why we make music. It's something much deeper. I don't know. But I'm glad that it provides something positive to someone else's life. And isn't that the point of music, is it helps humans kind of understand why we're here, or helps people figure out what's going on, or they have some problem, or, you know, it's a missing link in some sort of mystical, unanswerable question, I guess, right?
Ich habe das Album selbst nicht mehr bewusst gehört, aber es ist interessant, dass du von einer Spannung in der Musik sprichst. Wir haben allerdings unsere Musik nie als entspannend empfunden, obwohl das oft behauptet wird. Die Ironie ist, dass Zorn oder Wut oft Bestandteile von Schönheit sind. Ein Mensch will zu unserer Musik in der Badewanne liegen, ein anderer Mensch hat zur selben Musik fast Selbstmordgedanken. Beach House ist für den einen eine Qual und für den anderen ist die Musik wie eine tolle Yogastunde. Wichtig ist vor allem, dass echte Gefühle erweckt werden und dass es als Stütze dient und dass man dazu verholfen werden kann, das Leben zu bewältigen. Unsere Musik ist im mystischen Sinne wie ein fehlendes Bindeglied, wie eine Antwort auf das Mysterium des Lebens. Und hier ist jetzt Wishes von dem Album Bloom von Beach House.
Well, last time I interviewed you, I seem to remember you saying in no uncertain terms that the Teen Dream album, in a lot of ways, was about sex. And
we were also younger and drunk, and it was after the show, for the record.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
And I was
where,
scared you were going to start getting rude on air, then, but you didn't.
I think we were a little bit younger and also just talking. Yeah, like you said, we're just talking.
Being playful.
And it's funny because when you just talk, then sometimes the things that you say become things that are repeated, but ultimately they're meaningless. And you know, people have sex to every song in the entire world. So
yeah,
you could say that about any.
I probably only say that. No, maybe two songs on that album feel that way.
Yeah, but I just wouldn't. I just wouldn't even.
I don't know why we were saying that.
Maybe because we were
being playful.
Yeah, it's just playful.
Yeah. Or much more serious because we've had things like that thrown back at us so many times.
Alex meinte, wir waren betrunken. Es war nach der Show, als wir sagten, Teen Dream war so sexuell geladen. Und Victoria meint, wir waren auch ein bisschen jünger und wir haben einfach locker geredet. Man kann Sex schließlich zu jeder Art von Musik haben. Und Alex meint, in Wirklichkeit waren nur zwei Songs auf Teen Dream wirklich extrem sexuell. Wir sind nun seriöser geworden und erzählen sowas nicht mehr.
Do you ever regard it as being a difficult task, actually, to gain people's attention enough? Because, and you know what the world's like, it's just so fast-moving.
Well, I think there's a
difference. In the world of internet, people can't concentrate anymore on anything. And your music demands attention. And obviously, the people who like your music go to your shows. They're not forced to go. So presumably, you've got an intelligent audience, I presume. But nonetheless, does it feel like an uphill struggle in a way? Almost like, you know, the swimming against the stream in that respect.
I feel like there's a difference between, like, the relationship with the audience during a show and getting their attention in that sense of, like, connecting with even two people, you know, versus trying to get the attention of people out there who listen to music. One thing I've always loved about us and what we have built is that it's been truly word of mouth in many ways. And if people don't like it, they just don't like it, you know, and they can walk away. You don't have to stay. You're not a prisoner of a show, you know. You stay because you're compelled. And I think that our fans are people that were compelled to the music and continue to be like that, you know, and I think that it's a very, very simple thing, actually.
Victoria sagt, es ist immer wieder eine spannende Herausforderung, zu versuchen, eine Resonanz auf unsere Musik zu bekommen. Unser Erfolg ist nur durch Mund-zu-Mund-Propaganda erzielt worden. Wenn die Leute uns nicht mögen, ist es eben so. Sie verabschieden sich dann. Unsere Fans haben wir aber in den Bann gezogen und sie bleiben bei uns. Es ist ein einfacher Ausleseprozess. Here's yet Silver Soul from the last album, Teen Dream, from Beach House.
It sounds like some really good production. It sounds really well done. It almost sounds a bit like a 1970s record or something, like a Fleetwood Mac album, you know, where it's like, you know, where they used to have millions of dollars to spend, yeah. And you could spend two hours.
We spent
two years in the studio. You know, did you spend the total?
We spent the entire budget and then some. Yeah.
But yeah. It's also it's
we recorded
work and
we recorded on tape.
Well, analog, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's maybe the warmth about it then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of us using it. And we used tape on the first records, just but it wasn't good tape. It was four-track tape, and now it's reel-to-reel.
Oh, right. Because it seemed like a flashback to better times, you know, when people used to be able to lounge around in a studio for 2 years, just spending millions and millions of dollars from Warner Music or whatever.
We probably packed 2 years into 3 weeks.
It was 9 weeks.
9 weeks, yeah. Okay.
Which is a good amount of time.
Yeah,
a lot of time.
By today's standards. Yeah. And it wasn't recorded in Texas?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mixed in New York, mostly. Yeah.
All right. Did actually Texas do anything to the record? Sort of?
I think our argument is always... I mean, I'm sure...
Who knows, yeah.
I think the distance from things or, you know, always impact the intensity of, you know, the focus on everything. But I think that the, you know...
I mean, songs were written before we got there and all the parts were written and everything was orchestrated.
But personally, I think as people... you're always affected by the experience of making an album, and the experience of recording it is always intense. The entire, the conception and the birth of an album takes a great toll on an artist. At least it has on us. And so of course I think that that part of the world definitely made an imprint on us as people. But musically, like you said, you know, not it doesn't really make its way into the music sonically or anything.
Like we didn't like do Pieri and like walk around in the desert and then come back and be like, scrap all this.
I'll just get stuck.
I have a new
desert.
Vision. I've never had the money to be that free.
Right.
Okay.
Like you said, it's not the 70s.
No. Do you write songs at home then? You don't have to live together, presumably, because you're not a couple, are you? You're not married, are
no.
you?
We write. Right. We have a big practice space in Baltimore, and we write everything there.
You actually write everything in the practice space.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're two different people, so we write little things separately. But the writing of these records is together.
The construction.
Yeah. The construction is a good word for it.
I mean, it'd be a romantic notion to think that if you listen to music, it would seem fitting if you were always kind of spiritually in tune with each other, just all the time. That kind of like. This kind of perfect relationship.
I think we are spiritually in tune to one another, and I don't think that... I think it's normal and natural that people on the outside project romance on that. I think it's totally normal. Everyone's done it to everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I think it's normal.
I think even amongst bands of men that, you know, all have girlfriends, there's crazy amounts of...
Joe Perry, Steven Tyler.
No, but I think there's a lot of like what is like romance between the men, you know, like this, there's two people in the band that are writing everything. They love, you know, that's why it gets, when things get bad, they get so bad because it's so much love. You know, it's not just like a casual friendship. It's deep,
it's
really far in, you know, like when you are creative with people, it's really intense. And I think it is a lot like a romantic relationship.
Yes. I think it's more crazy.
You reveal yourself to one another. And you give each other ideas, you support each other, you surprise each other. It's very loving, you know, even I think between sexes, across sexes, it's just creativity is beautiful and romantic.
So other words.
I think it's more devastating actually when an idea fails than if, you know, you have a bad date. It's awful. It's more disappointing. I think the disappointments are much more complex and actually a lot more than just you didn't call me back. At least you can figure out what that problem was. But if something doesn't connect, like if an idea doesn't connect, it's more heartbreaking, I think, in some ways. I just feel like we've experienced it on this record.
So it doesn't really give you a safe distance from each other, the fact that you're not a couple, because it doesn't make any difference in that respect. I mean, if you were a couple with a physical relationship, it wouldn't make any difference, because that bonding is there and the intensity is there,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that any bands probably feel an intense energy, especially if you're making good work.
Mm-hmm.
Because when everyone cares about something, there's so much intensity in the room.
Yeah, I just think with two people, it'd be even more the case, maybe, because it's just down to you. I mean,
if
she let you down, then, you know, if there was a basis to fall back on or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But in this case, it's all down to you. And if she disappoints with a vocal, then you've had it, you know.
Well, I also think it's like stuff gets diluted when you have to fit in a bass player, fit in a drum player. You know, it's like fit it in, you know, write it for them, and then just that's it. And it's going to be a lot better, I think.
Alex meinte, wir haben jeden Cent vom Budget in die Produktion gesteckt. Das Album ist analog entstanden, daher die wärmsten Sounds. Wir haben immer Analogbänder benutzt, aber es ist nur 4-Track-Tape und in diesem Fall war es richtig hochwertiges Tonbandmaterial. Wir haben zwar keine 2 Jahre Zeit gehabt wie Fleetwood Mac damals, um das Album zu produzieren, aber 9 Wochen haben wir uns schon Zeit gelassen. Die Songs waren schon fertig komponiert, bevor wir mit den Aufnahmen in Texas anfingen. und Victoria meint, die Entstehung eines Albums ist schon ein sehr anstrengender Prozess bei einem Künstler. Ich glaube schon, dass unsere Zeit in Text auf uns als Menschen abgefärbt hat, aber Text hat direkten musikalischen Einfluss auf das Album gehabt. Und Alex sagt, wir wanderten nicht durch die Wüste, bis wir die Erleuchtung hatten. Wir hatten nie das Geld, um so frei sein zu können, dass wir impulsiv alles in den Müll hätten schmeißen dürfen, um wieder von vorne anzufangen. Victoria sagt, wie du schon sagtest, es sind nicht die 70er Jahre. Wir schreiben alles im Proberaum, wir schreiben überwiegend zusammen, wir sind spirituell miteinander verbunden. Ich finde es normal, dass man diese Vorstellung der künstlerischen Nähe als Außenstehender romantisch findet. Alex meint, auch Männer untereinander innerhalb der Band sind oft so miteinander verbunden, dass sie sich lieben, fast wie eine Liebesbeziehung. Deshalb gehen die Bands bei einer Trennung so oft im Bösen auseinander, weil echte Liebe die Band verbindet. In einer Band zusammen zu sein, ist keine lockere Freundschaft. Wenn Menschen miteinander kreativ sind, ist es genauso intensiv wie eine romantische Beziehung. Man offenbart sich den anderen gegenüber, man stützt sich gegenseitig, man überrascht sich gegenseitig, es ist sehr liebevoll. Das Geschlecht nicht dabei entscheidet. Kreativität ist schön und romantisch. Victoria sagt, es ist viel verheerender, wenn eine kreative Idee scheitert, als wenn man nur ein schlechtes Date hat. Die Enttäuschung ist komplexer und tut mehr weh, als wenn man beim romantischen Date versetzt wird, nach dem Motto, du hast mich nicht zurückgerufen. Wenigstens hat man dann Klarheit. Wenn eine kreative Idee hartet, ist es viel schwerer, das zu begreifen. Bei uns ist die künstlerische Nähe besonders intensiv, weil es sich nur um zwei Personen handelt. Wenn man Platz für andere Musiker einräumen muss, kann es dazu führen, dass die Intensität nachlässt. Und hier ist jetzt Lazuli von dem Album Bloom von Beach House.
I can't imagine you actually singing for anybody else. I can't imagine you singing in another band. I mean, maybe in 10, 20 years you will want to do that or do something completely different.
Because I'm in this band.
Yes, I know. But it's kind of like, it seems to be so intertwined. It's kind of like, I couldn't imagine you just going off and doing something else. It's kind of like almost you wouldn't be allowed to leave the band, you know.
Well, the songs are entirely written around the voice. I think Beach House, I believe that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're writing around the voice. The voice is the center.
Yeah, but there's something unusual about it in that regard, because it's something quite intense about that. It sounds like it's so bonded, as you said, to the music itself. And just not
it's all connected. It's not it's not about cut and paste. You don't just throw...
Yeah, we don't put a bunch of chords down, then the vocals... Yeah, there is.
We don't have, like, songs written, and then we go, okay, put the vocals on that. You know, we are very much...
We write
everything
with the vocals.
Is related.
Use the vocals to write.
Yes, and then back and forth. The melodies arise out of the music. They all birth each other, and that's true. That's truth for us. It's not truth if you just cut and paste.
No, of course not, no.
I think Victoria would probably sound great in a lot of bands, but I don't know if it would sound as good as Beach House.
No.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. And are you always actually on the same wavelength when it comes down to what she's saying in her lyrics? I mean, is there any...
Well, this is the thing, I'm really lucky. I'm really, really lucky. And, you know, and I think this is one of the things that has made us incredibly lucky as a band. I don't think I've ever heard Victoria write a lyric and not like it. We're very aesthetically... close. She doesn't like something and then I go like it's never happened. I've never not liked a lyric written really,
because we have similar reactions to things.
If we didn't have that, this probably never would have started in the first place. The thing where the thing the person wants to do, the other person, that means people don't get along musically. You know, like the singers she loves, I love those singers. The lyrics she loves, I love those lyrics. Not just her own, but like aesthetically. Like, we like very, very similar things. And I think that's why one of the reasons why it's been so easy to work together for 8 years.
He knows when I don't believe something and vice versa. If I say something that I don't believe in, he's not going to react to that because he can sense that it's not really there. And I'll say, you know, this is just temporary because he knows. He's not...
Yeah, but do you sometimes think that she's actually singing about something which has nothing to do with you? That never happens either. Right. I mean, a case in point, I mean, I claim that the lyric's not important, but I mean, there are certain lyrics which I have noticed, like on the song Wild, for example, it sounds like possibly like a drunken father figure or whatever, or somebody who's not being reliable or whatever to a child, something like that. But I mean, if that was Victoria's story, for example, it wouldn't be, would it, necessarily?
But even if that is not specifically about you per se, that is still becomes part of his identity, though, because he is Beach House. Just as much as I am. And that song, Wild, that's not just the words, the lyrics, but the force of that song. That is a belief of ours. So it does become his life. It is now.
that we've done. Just like for an example, that song, I remember that song started, Victoria literally just sung that melody into air. Da 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 da. And she almost like forgot about it. It captivated me. I kept singing it again and again in my head. And I eventually found those chords on a keyboard that we had never used before. And then those chords then influenced what the lyrics eventually became. You know, so you see, it's like the melody goes into my mind. It translates into this sound. The sound gives her this feeling, this ominous feeling. She starts to write the lyrics.
It goes back and forth.
We keep adding layers and layers. You know, so it's like, it's that kind of thing where, yeah, maybe that sounds like a very autobiographical thing, but the feeling that I get from it is something I was already feeling with the chords. You know,
and you also know the range of her voice, so you know what she can actually achieve and what she cannot achieve.
Well, he's not writing parts for me. Yeah.
She sung this melody, and I actually kept the actual key that she sung it in.
All right, okay.
But key is an amazing thing.
Yeah, key is a huge thing because key is so much of as where someone's expressive range is.
But that's one song, though. What we're describing is not the way that it is for every song.
But every song comes about differently. But I just wanted to give it to you because I was trying to answer your question so you got an idea of how...
Like sometimes how I write chords...
minds combine to create a single feeling.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Alex meint, die Songs sind extra für Victorias Stimme komponiert worden. Die Stimme ist die Basis des Sounds. Victoria sagt, wir benutzen den Gesang... die Lieder auszuarbeiten. Wir schreiben nicht die Musik und klatschen den Gesang obendrauf. Wir machen es auf wahrhaftige Weise. Und Alex sagt, Victoria könnte zwar in vielen Bands toll singen, aber ob sie so singen würde wie im Beach House, bleibt dahingestellt. Ich habe großes Glück, dass ich nie eine Textzeile von Victoria gelesen habe, die mir nicht gefiel. Wir sind so sehr im ästhetischen Sinne miteinander verbunden. Auch die Sänger, die sie liebt, liebe ich auch. Die Texte, die sie liebt, liebe ich auch. Es war in den 8 Jahren immer einfach, miteinander zu arbeiten. Und Victoria sagt, Alex weiß, wenn ich von irgendwas nicht überzeugt bin. Wenn ich Texte schreibe, die eigentlich von mir handeln, es ist trotzdem so, dass die Texte ein Teil von Alexes Identität werden. Und Alex sagt, das Stück Wild summte Victoria ursprünglich nur so vor sich hin. Ich war davon gefesselt. Ich sang es immer wieder nach. Ich merkte mir Victorias Tonart ab. Und irgendwann bin ich auf die Akkorde gestoßen. Die etwas unheimliche Melodie inspirierte dann die Texte. Das Lied wirkt zwar autobiografisch, aber das Feeling des Songs kommt von den Akkorden. Zwei Klänge können vereint sein, um ein einheitliches Feeling zu schaffen. Und hier ist jetzt das besagte Stück Wild von Beach House von dem Album Blue.
I just hope your sound doesn't get too muscular then in another couple of years, yeah?
I'm just telling you right now, it's going the other way.
Okay, good.
Don't worry.
We're already very
intelligent people.
We have like a.
I'm sorry to say that, Germany, but we're very intelligent people, and we're very sensitive. And I think that's, can be terrible sometimes. And one.
Well, that's not just you're describing my listeners, so that's fine. We're all on the same wavelength. Intelligent and sensitive. Yeah. Very good.
You just have to be aware of what you become, and even if you were at the helm of that, it's all about intuition, and you feel like. You have to be honest to yourself. Say, what am I capable of? Believe as much as you want. Dream as big as you want. But there will be points where you know something about yourself at its essence, what it is, where it is the most beautiful, where it captures the most light, where it has the most resonance. You know, where the feelings are the most pure, and it's totally different for every artist. And I think some people choose to ignore that, but I think for us as Beach House, we can't ignore that, because to ignore is to absolutely be the antithesis of what created the band in the first place, which is something very pure, very innocent, very natural, and very emotional. So I think that when we say about going back in that other direction, muscular, aesthetic, external, things that are made of brawn and have no insides, I think what we're saying is
I'm curious about that comment, though. Did you think that the last record was too muscular?
No, it's just because you were saying about how you were going for a bigger sound, but you weren't sort of really painstaking keeping the subtlety there.
Maybe
if you, at the end of the day, concentrating too much on production or whatever, then it might actually be, it might get a bit out of control, maybe, just kind of keep going a step further. Because it's probably more difficult. You can't get lo-fi again, can
you? It's really just, but you don't, it takes time. It takes multiple records. It takes experiences. It takes ups and downs and things like that to get to that. And I think it's like a beautiful synonym for almost aging as well. There are things you can't realize when you're 25 or 30 years old that you have to realize when you're older.
And we always think that our next record is going to be our best record.
That's a healthy attitude to
But then... as soon as we're done, we want to make the next. It's like we're done with the record by the time it comes out.
Right.
And we think, okay, the next one's going to be the best one.
I always say that, this is my new dramatic statement, but that the true death of an album for us is the very last show of the touring cycle of that, right? That's the death. And then it has a rebirth years later when you song it playing in a bar and you don't recognize yourself. That is like the next afterlife of a record for us is not recognizing yourself, because then you know that enough time has passed. You're not inside of it at all anymore. It's become closer to what a stranger would hear your music as than what you could ever imagine. So, but yeah, I like saying that dramatic. The death is the last show of the last touring cycle.
Victoria sagt, wir sind sehr intelligente, simple Menschen. Wir werden schon den richtigen Weg einschlagen. Es geht Intuition. Man muss sich selbst gegenüber ehrlich sein. Man muss seine eigene spirituelle Essenz finden. Man muss prüfen, wann und wo diese Essenz am schönsten ist. Wo kriegt diese Essenz das meiste Licht her, damit sie strahlen kann? Man muss versuchen, die reinsten Gefühle zum Ausdruck zu bringen. Viele Leute halten sich an solche Regeln der echten Kunst nicht. Wenn wir die Regeln der authentischen Kunst nicht einhalten würden, wäre es Verrat für uns. Diese Band war von vornherein sehr rein, sehr unschuldig, sehr emotional. Das ist der Grund, warum wir die Band ins Leben riefen. Deshalb wäre es zum Beispiel undenkbar, einen kräftigeren Sound anzustreben, um bloß populärer zu werden. Kreativer Prozess benötigt Zeit, ist auch mit Aufs und Abs verbunden. Es ist wie ein Zoom fürs Älterwerden. Es gibt bestimmte Sachen, die man mit 25 oder mit 30 noch nicht umsetzen kann. Alex meint, wir glauben immer, dass die nächste Platte die beste sein wird, bis sie fertig ist. Dann planen wir schon das nächste Album, das noch besser werden sollte. Victoria sagt, mir gefällt der dramatische Satz, der Tod eines Albums. Für mich ist der Tod eines Albums nach der letzten Show einer Tournee. Dann wird das Album später wiedergeboren, wenn man zufällig ein Lied in einer Bar hört und für einen Augenblick erkennt man seine eigene Musik nicht mehr. Dann weiß man, dass genug Zeit vergangen ist, dass man Abstand vom Album gewonnen hat. Man reagiert fast wie ein Fremder auf seine eigene Musik.
Cool, well, let's hope you can carry on pushing it forward. It seems quite effortless at the moment. You don't seem to be suffering from writer's block of any sort. So let's hope it stays that way. Okay, thanks very much for talking to me anyway.
Thank you very much.
So das war ein Interview mit Alex Scully und Victoria Legrand von Beach House aus Baltimore. Zum Schluss haben wir jetzt 10 Miles Stereo von dem Album Teen Dream. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Basler. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.